Greetings, my name is the Reverend Lisa Mason, and I have the great honor of being the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church in Larchmont. I pray that you enjoy this time together. I'm inviting you to open your minds and hearts to whatever message God is sending you during this sermon. So our lesson from Matthew is at a very critical time. Since our gospel from last week with a pleading Canaanite woman, Jesus has performed miracles. He has healed the sick. He has been teaching both those who were following him and the religious leaders of the time. He has grown frustrated at the lack of understanding, the lack of those who are listening to be able to really take in to their hearts and their minds who he is, especially even his disciples who have given up everything to follow him. Stay silent, except for exuberant Peter. So what happens in your own lives when either your workplace or your family, whatever it is you're about, they cannot seem to hear you. They cannot seem to understand the message. And you begin to wonder if your message is effective. And what are they hearing from that message? And so what do? You tend to ask those you trust around you, those with whom you live and move and have your being, that really know your heart and know what you're about. And that's what Jesus begins to do. He's to ask the disciples, who do people, I love that word people, that'll get you a whole wide margin of grace right there. Who do people say that I am? And they give him some answers. But now it's time that Jesus wants to move the disciples from being spectators to being participants. Participants in the work of the kingdom. So he looks at them, and I can only imagine with much hope and love and longing. And he said, but who do you say that I am? You, reading between the lines, who have given up everything you knew to follow me, you who have watched me at work in the world, you who have been there for the healings, you who have been there for the feedings, you who have been there for the discussions, no matter how hard they are or easy. You who have literally lived with me day and night, who do you say that I am? And there is silence, except for Peter. God bless Peter. He just blurts it out there. You are the Son of God, the Messiah. And in that moment is that famous story that we, I hope, know well. And that's when Jesus says, Simon, who will now be called Peter, which means rock, you will be the rock upon which I will build my church. Peter, in that moment, transformed from a spectator to a participant. Peter, who was a broken, flawed man, Jesus looks at him and says, on you I will build my church. Think about Moses. Moses was a broken, flawed human being. And God used him to lead the Israelites out of bondage into the wilderness in a new way of being. Moses went from a spectator of those he loved suffering to a participant in the work of the kingdom. God calls each and every one of us to be the rock upon which I will build my church, to be the leader that will bring the good news to those who have no voice, to those whose dignity is not respected, to those who long to have hope and light and love. We are not called to be spectators. We're called to be participants. And the good news is we're called in different ways. We're all members of the body of Christ, but we're all given very many different gifts. I want you to think about, and I don't think about this often enough, and I should, but think about who all and what all goes into the Sunday service. Think about all the different gifts that come together so that we can come and be fed, literally, spiritually, mentally, I hope, emotionally, so that we can go out there and be rocks for the people that come along yearning to see Jesus. If you could think about it, they're the ushers. There's the office staff that does the bulletin. They're the choir members when it's that season in the church, life of the church. There are Eucharistic ministers. There are readers, where there are acolytes when it's that season in the church. There's the whole tech team. We have two of them here this morning making sure that we can be on Zoom when the system is not working as it should. We have those who are caring for children. We have those on staff that are here on Sunday, such as Holly, our Christian for Formation Director for Children, Families, and Youth. There are those who will come. There's Lydia, who we walk out, and there is magically lemonade hour right there, ready for us to just enjoy. There are those on the altar guild that make sure the table is set and the church is ready. There are those who will come after and clean up after us. The list goes on and on. And then there are you who are participants in this service as members of the body of Christ. I have found more and more from the pandemic on that people want to know what it means to be the church and what does it mean to be followers of Jesus. I think it's important for us to take time individually to think about, what if somebody asked you, who is Jesus to you? Why do you say yes? You committed at your baptism. You commit when you're sitting here to follow Jesus. So who is Jesus? Now, when we come together, we say the creed. We talk about our beliefs in a very formal liturgy way. But what do you do when someone sees you coming out of here? It'll happen someday, I promise. They're going to see you coming out of here, and they're going to be like, why do you go? Like, what do you do in there? Why are you a believer? Tell me about that. And you may find yourself saying, Jesus for me is the most tangible way to connect with God. Jesus for me shows me the love of God by being willing to die and be resurrected, so we know that God promises to make us new. Or maybe Jesus to me understands human suffering intimately because he was willing to suffer a brutal death. So he knows our pain. Jesus is your friend. Jesus is an amazing teacher. Whatever your answer is, may it strengthen your own faith. But I promise you it will help another sojourner looking for that love of God. Even last night in this beautiful wedding that we had, the wedding party had a moment at the altar while we were listening to a beautiful piece of music on the strings finish. And the maid of honor leans over to me and she said, do you realize in this very moment, the wedding was at 4, so by now we're about 4:30 right in front of the altar. And she said, do you realize at this very moment, the most amazing light is beaming through that cross? And it is literally bathing us in light. And then we shared that with the bride and groom. And it was just this holy moment. And then at the reception, I cannot tell you how many people came up and said, what does it mean to be part of your church? Why do people come to your church? I get why people come to weddings. That's pretty obvious. But why do people show up on Sunday morning? People are longing for light and hope and truth, and they want to hear it from you and from me, rocks of the church. God wants us to be participants, not spectators. I invite you today to think about two questions. Who do you say Jesus is? And what brings you here when you come? Because people are longing to know. More and more, and it's not just because I'm a priest walking around in a collar. People are longing for a bigger meaning, to know that they're part of something bigger than themselves. And they're longing to know that they are beloved. I say this often, and you know it. People are longing to know they're loved. People are longing to know they matter to anybody else outside of themselves. And people are longing to know that they have gifts that will make a tremendous difference in this world, whether they ever know it or not. And that is our messenger. That is our message. And we are the messengers that Jesus says, "Upon you I will build my church."Thank you again for this time together. I pray that we always remember that we are part of a much bigger story, the story of God's love for God's people and the call for us to learn how to love God and learn how to love each and every other person we encounter with the kind of love that God has for us. And now for a blessing. Be present to today. Do not be anxious about what might happen tomorrow. The same God who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow. God will either shield you from suffering, or you will be given the unfailing strength to bear it. So be at peace then, and cast aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day, and remain with you forever. Amen.